Up next, listen to the future of the internet with WebTalk and hear the latest news and trends keeping those electronic circuits and broadband connections buzzing.
This week, we find out what to do if you have a failed hard drive that crashes. You can recover that data with drivesavers.com. Also, we'll be talking about the big Supernova Conference 2004 that's set for this week in San Francisco area.
Stay connected. WebTalk is coming up next.
WebTalk Radio is brought to you by Web.com, the most trusted name on the net. When you're ready to get on the web, visit Web.com for domain names as low as $4.95. Web.com offers full-featured web hosting, including online store packages, starting at only $7.95 per month. Web.com has thousands of .web.com names available at www.web.com. WebTalk is also brought to you by Replay Radio at replay-radio.com. It turns your PC into a sophisticated web radio VCR. It's a great way to enjoy listening to the radio. Record your favorite music and radio shows and stations, and then listen anywhere and whenever you want on any device you want. Get the free trial download at replay-radio.com.
You're listening to Web Talk Radio at webtalkradio.com, and my name is Rob Greenlee, and thank you for listening to us from around the world, and we do our best to keep you plugged into the latest net trends and the coolest internet-connected devices right here every week. And we're sorry we missed you last week. We just took a day off. But we're back this week, and I'm with Dana Greenlee.
Hey, that's right. We're back, baby. Yes, I'm Dana Greenlee. And I have a question. Does it hurt when we plug them in? I mean, is there electrical current, or do we shock them?
That's right. We just get a little jolt of electricity when we start doing the show. And that's because all you guys are listening to us.
Thank you for joining us on this vast world wild web show called Web Talk. Internet topics we're about to delve into this week.
We all fear the hard drive crash. We've got a guest on the show this week that has some terrific tips on how to survive a data death.
Two big words, decentralization and net connectivity. Well, Kevin Warbach joins us to talk about these themes at this week's Supernova Tech Conference in Silicon Valley.
Hey, and I've got proof that the net is getting hot again. Web 2.0 conference is going to be a blockbuster.
The 8th annual Web Awards coming up, not Webby Awards. The entry deadline approaches.
And we have a question of the week for you. Is Google penalizing content sites PR for selling sponsored links? We're going to talk about that whole subject.
And don't forget our digital mailbag. One of the biggest fears that computer owners like you and me and network administrators have is hard drive failure data loss. Today on WebTalk, we'll take you into a journey of the world of white chemical suits and sterile biohazard-looking clean rooms. And ask some folks, will doctor your failed hard drive at a 90% success rate? That's drivesavers.com. They use a former suicide prevention counselor to help customers like you and me. John Christopher from drivesavers.com will join us to tell us some dramatic and star-studded stories of data recovery. For instance, how he helped save Homer and Bart Simpson from getting deep sixed.
I had done a data recovery on a drive, and I noticed a lot of Simpsons stuff on his drive, you know, icons and games and all kinds of stuff. And he says, well, check the one called scripts. I said, wow, these are great. Where did you get all these? He says, well, I wrote them. He was one of the writers and producers for the show The Simpsons. And he had then told me that, amazingly, this was the only copy of 12 scripts that they had not yet produced, including their season finale that year, which was Who Shot Mr. Burns? So we were able to get all of his data back, and we had no idea who we were even working, but they were most grateful, and they even sent us an autographed picture signed by Homer.
Net connectivity and decentralized work environments are the two twin themes of the Supernova Tech Conference this week in Silicon Valley. That conference is going to be attended by leaders from all across the digital age. Conference chair and prolific tech blogger Kevin Warbach will join us on the show today to tell us about the event topics like voice over IP, social networking, and web services, and more. And these trends are unstoppable, and they are driving a wide range of social, economic, and technology industry developments.
I also could see a common theme emerging between a variety of important development, and that common theme was decentralization. If you look at what Napster, for example, was doing to the music industry, compare that to what Wi-Fi and voice over IP were doing in communications. What's happening is that as devices are increasingly intelligent and increasingly densely connected, old centralized hierarchies are breaking down. New opportunities are emerging that involve more distributed systems and new kinds of applications. And so Supernova is really designed to focus on that broad trend and all the specific implications that flow out of it.
Rob, lots of things happening in the web world this week. One of them is Web 2.0. What's that?
Well, it's a new conference, and it's really, I think, kind of proof of the net is becoming hot again, and there's a lot of talk within the tech industry that the web is going to come back. But I think this conference coming up called Web 2.0 is an example of how the web is moving to a kind of a new platform, kind of a new stage of its development, and it's really becoming a proven and successful business platform. You start looking at Amazon.com, and that's one of the invited speakers that's going to be at this event. It's by invitation only, so you'll need to visit the website at web2con.com. And Mark Andreessen, the creator of Netscape and everybody, is going to be there, as well as Mark Cuban, the broadcast.com guy.
This is put on by John Battelle, who's been on our show in the past. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that helped found Wired Magazine and worked in chairman of the industry standard and the standard.com. But if you're a tech groupie like me, now this is one of the conferences I would like to go to. I would love to see Jeff Bezos talk. The guy's adorable, but he's very, very wicked smart. And I mean, to see all these famous people to me is as good as seeing the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, and this conference is in October. It's on October 5th and 7th in San Francisco. So go visit the website, web2con.com.
Another awards possibility coming up. So if you have a website, listen up. It's the annual webawards.org award.
Website award.
Website,
yeah.
Awards. The deadline for entering this competition is June 30, and then the judging will take place July and August. This is not the Webby Awards, though. This is Web
Awards. This is different, but this one's been around since 1997. So it's been slowly ramping up, and it looks like it's becoming a little more serious now, and I think it's getting some attention.
webawards.org. Rob, there's something that's been bugging us for probably months now. It's about Google.
Well, and the changes that are happening with,
yeah,
Google with their whole AdSense program, and some of the things that they're doing with their contextual advertising program, is there's changes coming. And we just wanted to pose a question to you guys as listeners of our show, what you think is going on with Google out there as you have a website maybe, and maybe you want to sell links on your website and make a little money on that. Well, Google, I think, is starting to penalize sites for doing that. And is that right? And is that the right thing for content producers? Because what it's doing is it's really forcing the advertisers to go to Google, I think, to buy links. And because if you're running links on your website, you're basically competing with them. So I don't know what you think about that, Dan.
Well, and I just want to add the part about, yes, we do sell some sponsored links on our site. We're starting to see some backlash from Google about that. We also have the Google AdSense program where, we're really not supposed to talk about the specifics of the details according to Google, but, you know, basically if people want to click through and look at the banner ad from Google that's served by Google, it's contextual, we make a little bit of money. That little bit of money has gone to a minuscule amount of money. I mean, we're talking, you know, like /2/3 from what it was when we started the program. So we feel like we're squeezed from both sides. We're just a content site. We're trying to do this out of the goodness of our heart, make a little money, can't sell text links, so we get penalized, use AdSense, we're not making anything. You know what?
Yeah.
We're thinking strip the ads out, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a complex issue because Google, I know, is getting squeezed on both ends with their program as well because of click fraud and people not being willing to pay as much for links in their contextual ad program. So I think that we're getting squeezed in a lot of different directions. And unfortunately, the content producing site is the one that's losing in the end. But let us know what you think on this subject, and we'll mention it on the air sometime. You're welcome to send me an email at rob@webtalkradio.com and give us your thoughts.
Speaking of mail, I just want to dig into the digital mailbag. No specific one to read this week. Just wanted to say that we got a few people asking, where was our show last week? Sorry, guys. We did take a little bit of a break. Lots of work to be done.
Yeah.
That was apart from the show. But we're back, and we're back strong.
Yes, we are. And we've also been flooded with email invitation requests for ORCID. from all over the world, actually. It's kind of changed a little bit over the last few months. There was a lot of people within the U.S. that were making requests for inclusion and invitations to ORCID, but now they're coming from like Brazil and Australia and all over the country. So
that's ORCID.com, O-R-K-U-T, in case this is the first time you've ever heard about it. Social networking site. You have to be invited to join.
And send us a request if you want to be invited.
Support for WebTalk every week is provided by our dear friends at web.com. They're the most trusted name on the web. And when you're ready to get on the web and have your own website, go to web.com. They register domain names for as low as $4.95. And they also have full-featured web hosting and even online store packages that start as little as $7.95 a month. What a deal.
It is a great deal. There's no question. And we're also supported by Replay Radio at replay-radio.com. And go check out their internet radio recording software tool that they have. And then we're also supported by InfoCreek.com. And they are a low-cost web design firm that designs really cool, high-tech looking websites. Go check them out at infocreek.com.
Now stay connected. In just seconds, Kevin Warbach is joining us. He's going to talk about the great Supernova Tech Conference coming up this week.
This is Web Talk Radio.
Hey, radio lovers, you can now record thousands of radio stations, listen anywhere you want, and even fast forward over the fluff. How? With Replay Radio. It's easy to use and incredibly cool. Replay Radio turns your PC into a VCR for the radio. To listen, just use your PC, MP3 player, iPod, or car CD player. So what are you waiting for? Try a free demo right now. Visit the Replay Radio website today at replay-radio.com.
You're back with Web Talk Radio at webtalkradio.com, and I'm Rob Greenlee here with Dana Greenlee.
Net connectivity and decentralization work environments are the twin themes of the hot Supernova Tech Conference that's happening this week. It's June 25 and 26 in Silicon Valley in California near San Francisco. It'll be attended by the leaders of the digital age, and you can find out information at supernova2004.com.
Conference chair and prolific tech blogger Kevin Warbach at warbach.com is here with us on the show today to talk about the event topics at Supernova this year. And those event topics span a huge spectrum from voice over IP to Wi-Fi and unlicensed wireless spectrum. And he's going to share his thoughts on some of these unstoppable trends that are driving a wide range of social and economic and technology industry developments that are changing all of our lives. Kevin, thank you for joining us again. It's been a few years since you've been on the show, so it's great to have you on.
My pleasure.
Hey, let's talk about Supernova and what you're doing down there, and what was the idea behind Supernova? Can you kind of share that with us?
I started Supernova about 3 years ago for two reasons. One was looking out at the technology industry. This was early to mid-2002, really the bottom of the crash. And I saw, first of all, with good reason, most technology events had fallen by the wayside. Mm-hmm. And more broadly, people were very pessimistic. There was a sense that innovation had stopped.
Yeah.
And what I saw when I looked out there was clearly there were excesses of the bubble, but there were interesting technologies still being developed. The world hadn't stopped. And I thought that was the perfect time to take a broader perspective, try to take a little more time and understand the key issues and technologies and ideas that would drive the ultimate recovery of the technology sector and the ultimate further development of tech-based industries going forward. I also could see a common theme emerging between a variety of important developments, and that common theme was decentralization.
Okay.
If you look at what Napster, for example, was doing to the music industry, compare that to what Wi-Fi and voice over IP were doing in communications, look at web services in information technology and enterprise computing, web logs in media and information, and on and on. What's happening is that as devices are increasingly intelligent and increasingly densely connected, old centralized hierarchies are breaking down, and new opportunities are emerging that involve more distributed systems and new kinds of applications. And so Supernova is really designed to focus on that broad trend and all of the specific implications that flow out of it.
Well, Kevin, you know, last year's hot topic is, you know, this year's 5 minutes ago. So I know that it changes from week to week. So how do you pick what to focus on 6 months before you start, you know, as you start planning the conference? Because, you know, is it still going to be hot, you know, this June?
I don't. I mean, I have a general theme, which again, it relates to this idea of decentralization, mm-hmm. of intelligence and control, and also the idea of increasing connectivity. That general theme doesn't change month to month or year to year, because I think that's a 10, 20, maybe even 50-year trend
sure.
That's going on in all of these industries. Then the specific things of what we talk about, I put together the conference very organically. I invite not just companies that I think are hot, but people that I think are compelling and interesting and provocative, people who have something to say that's not necessarily tied to just, you know, this week's hot story. So people like Ray Ozzie, who created Lotus Notes and now Groove, and Jonathan Schwartz from Sun, and people like that who, you know, I think have something to say this month, and I'm very confident we'll have something to say 6 months from now.
Yeah, you bet. Well, let's run through some of the session topics that you guys are going to try and cover at the event.
Sure. I mean, Supernova focuses, broadly speaking, on communications, software, and digital media, and on the linkages between what's going on in those industries. So we actually start with someone who comes from outside the technology world. Tom Malone is a professor at MIT Business mm-hmm. School, who just published an outstanding book called The Future of Work that actually traces the way falling communications costs have actually, all the way throughout history, influenced the way organizations work and how large they can become, but in particular have a tremendous impact on the nature of business and business organizations going forward. Then we look at everything from social software, which broadly speaking includes all of the sort of hot social networking mm-hmm. services like Friendster and Tribe and LinkedIn, mm-hmm. As well as things like weblogs and also new kinds of applications being built on things like camera-enabled cell phones. But, you know, from there, we talk about syndication, you know, which is a new paradigm for disseminating information and pushing out content between different sites. We have sessions on the telecom revolution, including both the broad restructuring of the telecom industry that's mm-hmm. going on with things like voice over IP, as well as some very disruptive wireless technologies. And we have sessions on, you know, the business world, you know, issues like web services, outsourcing, some of those questions. And then we wrap up by sort of, you know, looking at a bunch of specific topics about government, topics about broadband applications, and ultimately topics about just the significance of the increasingly available back channel of information. The conference itself is a perfect microcosm for the kinds of issues we talk about, because there's essentially a virtual community that exists alongside the physical event. People posting things on their weblogs over the wireless network, collaborating on the wiki, the shared collaborative space that we provide, mm-hmm. engaging in the chat, people coming in who aren't even at the conference contributing to that community. So we, you know, in a sense, sort of turn the camera back on ourselves to explore some mm-hmm. of those issues. And that's just the starting point. There's a whole set of other issues that we'll bring up at the conference and various different panels I haven't even mentioned.
Supernova 2004 is very much an educational sort of mind-expanding event. There's no booths or, you know, exhibitors or anything like that. How does the format of it go? How many sessions? How many days? Why don't you give us sort of that idea?
It's a two-day conference. There'll be 200 people there. Goes basically, you know, morning, you know, 8:30, 9 a.m. through 6 p.m., most of it is in one track. There's one afternoon that has two parallel breakout sessions, but I deliberately structure it to maximize the degree of interactivity as opposed to having everyone sort of wandering off in different places. They're not, as you say, exhibitor booths. It's not a trade show.
Sure.
It's a networking event, but we do have a reception the first day that's a networking reception where there are companies that are sponsors that are participating in a technology showcase. But it's all designed around basically the ideas and the networking between people.
What do you think are the hottest topics that you're going to cover at the event this year?
I don't like to look at it that way. I think there are topics that are important, and there are things that are hot. But if you go chasing the next big thing, you're going to get in trouble. And frankly, when people ask me a lot, you know, because I wear this hat as an industry analyst. Yeah, what's the next big thing? And mostly what I say these days is we already know what the next big things are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when people were talking 3 or 4 years ago about wireless and getting all excited about it and pumping up all these companies, in a sense, they were right. You look now, there are more people around the world, about 1.5 billion, using mobile phones than using landline wired phones.
Yeah.
And those phones are increasingly being used for data and applications. So that's a real big hot trend. It's just people got excited about it too early.
Mm-hmm. That's the
case in a number of other areas. To me, weblogs is a very old story. I wrote my first article about weblogs and syndication in 1999, so 5 years ago now. And I thought it wasn't a new story back then. Suddenly, Google acquires Blogger, and the blogs get involved in politics, and this becomes a new hot story. To me, what's important is the underlying trends, the people, the ideas, the companies, and then understanding what stage things are at. When things get to the stage where they're maturing and broadly deployed, that's of a certain significance. Mm-hmm. But it really depends what your perspective is. If you're an early stage investor, you want to find something that's ahead of the curve. You don't want to find the thing that everyone else already sees reaching the mass market.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, if you're someone who's concerned about selling into a market or what's going to have the biggest economic effect, some of these things like, say, social networking services, which are generating all this excitement, are not nearly at that mature stage where there's large numbers of users willing to pay money and actually make them a long-term thing.
Seems like that there is a strong movement to actually move things beyond the web and the internet, and it seems like that this whole syndication focus that you have with the event is really kind of moving in that direction. Do you think that the web is really kind of losing its focus as far as what the future holds for all of us staying connected with each other?
Well, yes and no. I guess my feeling is the web is dead. Long live the web.
Yeah.
On the one hand,
it's not going to go away. That's for sure.
No, it's not going to go away. And on the one hand, I take the web as a given. That's the existing, one could almost say, legacy platform. And that's I think a shift. I mean, really, this is also true. I think a lot of the conferences that have been going on since the earlier days that went through the bubble. The web is still sort of this new thing. For me, that was the last revolution.
Yeah,
it's not gone, but it's mm-hmm. the foundation. So you look at a company like Google or a company like Salesforce.com, they're starting with the web as a platform and building things up from there. That's part of it. The other part of it, though, is that the web is by no means perfect and by no means was ever designed to solve all the world's problems.
Mm-hmm.
The web is a client-server system. It's a system that was designed for publishing of pages of information. All sorts of things that we do now on the internet don't fit into those definitions.
Mm-hmm.
And increasingly, as you have more and more people accessing more and more content and applications in different places, the idea of a website that you have to actively go to becomes a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, for me, when I thought back about this, I realized that the real tipping point for me personally back when I started using the internet 10 years ago or so, or more than that, but I realized, roughly 10 years ago that I was getting most of my news. The primary place I felt like I was getting my general news and information was no longer television or the newspaper. It was the web.
Mm-hmm.
I realized, about maybe a year or two ago, 2 years ago or so, suddenly I realized that I wasn't getting my news from the web anymore. I was getting it from my RSS news aggregator. We have a structure. We have some standards, things like RSS and ATOM and XML. We have a concept about embedding metadata structure, in the standard way into content feeds and this concept that sites can push out a news feed and people can aggregate news feeds and applications can put out news feeds.
Mm-hmm.
We have those basic concepts. We have just the very smallest rudiments of the software that gets built on top of them. It's very much like the web,
mm-hmm.
Circa 1992, 93. I mean, maybe we probably have Mosaic out there somewhere. I'm not sure. Maybe it's Technorati, maybe it's Feedster, maybe it's NewsGator. I mean, the early versions of the applications, all of the more sophisticated commercial type developments that get built on top of that, really, the equivalent of the web as we know it, the Yahoo, the Amazon, the eBay, the Google, we haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
Kevin, in our last 30 seconds, those that are listening right now may be all excited and fired up to come. Can anyone come? Why don't you give us the details of where you are on the web, where it's going to be held?
www.supernova2004.com. That's one word. It's a paid conference. The registration rate is $18.95. Anyone can come who's willing to pay the fee. You know, it's a fairly high level conference. As I said, there'll be about 200 people there. It's in Santa Clara, California, June 24th and 25th. That's next Thursday and Friday. Mm-hmm. And we certainly welcome anyone who wants to come.
Do you have any plans to put some of the content on the web afterwards?
We have plans to put the content on the web before and during. But if you go to the website, there's a link to the Community Connection page, which has the weblog and the wiki, which are already operating. We're also going to have some of the content streamed, audio streamed live over the web by a company called IT Conversations.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be available on the website during the conference.
That's great.
And in various other ways, the information gets out there. As I said, quite a few of the attendees are blogging and commenting on the event live. There really is a sense that you certainly don't get the full experience not being there. There's just something that you can't substitute for the personal interactions in the halls and so forth. But you can get some of the value, I think, of the community by participating virtually.
You bet. Kevin, thank you for joining us again. It was great to speak with you.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for your interest, and looking forward to the conference next week.
Yeah, I'm too. Take care. Thanks.
We've been having a conversation with Kevin Werbach. He's the chair of the Great Supernova Tech Conference. It's just about to happen down in Silicon Valley, California. You can read more about it online at www.supernova2004.com and also at werbach.com at werbach.com. Hang tight, because on the other side, we'll be joined by John Christopher. He's a data recovery engineer with drivesavers.com. He's here to say you can save the data on your hard drive after it crashes. He's got some amazing stories of recovery, from rescuing data from a laptop that was at the bottom of the Amazon River, and a story or two about The Simpsons and Keith Richards' data disaster recoveries. You're listening to Web Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Rob Greenlee of Web Talk Radio. I've got a tip for you. If you're looking to register a new domain name or get a new website hosted, then support the Web Talk Radio show by visiting web.com. They have been a trusted name on the web for years and have had over 300,000 customers over the years. They specialize in domain name registrations and hosting, but they have a domain name registration as low as $4.95 per year, and that's for a yourname.web.com domain name. And they also have regular .com domain names for $6.95 per year. Web.com was recently ranked number one by tophost.com and CNET certified as being a top web hosting provider. Their hosting plans are as low as $7.95 per month, and that's even for an online e-commerce solution. So trust me, Web.com is a great place to get your solution, and you can give them a call at 1-800-761-2468. That's 1-800-761-2468, or just visit them right on their website at web.com. Welcome back to Web Talk Radio at webtalkradio.com, and I'm Rob Greenlee again here, and Dana Greenlee is here with me also on the other mic.
The biggest fear that computer owners have, and network administrators that are responsible for a lot of computers, is hard drive failure and data loss. Well, today we'll take you on a journey into the world of white chemical suits in a sterile, biohazard-looking clean room, where data doctors work on failed hard drives and have a 90% success rate.
Yeah, at recovering that data. Datasavers.com uses a former suicide prevention counselor to help customers like you and me get through the obstacles of having a hard drive failure. And actually, some big celebrities have used their services as well. And John Christopher, who is a data recovery engineer from DriveSavers, is on the line. And he's going to tell us some dramatic, star-studded stories about data recovery. And he's going to give us some tips on how we can handle this dramatic event if it happens to us or you. John, welcome to the program. It's great to have you on with us.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, one of the biggest fears that people that run computers or networks have is hard drive failure and data loss. It's like ranks right up there with like going to the dentist or something like that. It's like the biggest fear on earth. What is one of the big things that you guys would suggest to people that have a computer that they can do to kind of minimize that fear right out of the gate? Is what would be the top thing that they could do?
Well, it goes without saying just about that obviously backing up your data is the most important thing that you could possibly do. And the main reason you want to back up your information is because hard drives are mechanical devices. They have moving parts inside them that are going to wear out. Sometimes they break down over a period of time, mm-hmm. or sometimes they fail just like right out of the box. So I think my number one tip I would have to say to everyone is, you know, right now, back up your information, especially if you haven't done it in a long time, and back up religiously, you know, back up every single day. That's really, really important, especially mm-hmm. if you're using your computer for business purposes. My second tip I'd have to pass along would be to check those backups, and that is to occasionally go back and make sure that you have the critical files that you mm-hmm. need backed up to whatever medium you're using, if it's tape or some kind of removable drive or some kind of disk of some kind. And then the third thing I'd say is to store that backup disk off-site. In other words, take mm-hmm. it away from your office or entrust it to someone to take away from your site and keep it in a very safe place. Mm-hmm. And that's important should anything happen to your facility, that you'll have a backup perhaps of your previous day and you know, you'll still be up and running the next day.
I mean, do you recommend any particular backup hardware or web-based versions of backup? Do you have any recommendations on that?
There are so many options these days for backup. I think if you are a home user or an individual user, most modern PCs have built-in CD writers and mm-hmm. DVD writers. So you could certainly take advantage of those and store, you know, up to 700 megabytes of data on a single CD disk, or about 4.5 gigabytes of information on a rewritable DVD disk. There are other options out there. If you've seen some of these keychain drives that they make that use flash mm-hmm. memory, just like what you use to store your pictures on when you use a digital camera, they have these flash drives that you can connect to your USB port on your computer system. Mm-hmm. I believe they have them all the way up to 2 gigabytes now. So
yeah,
they're very small and compact. Still slightly expensive. probably another option, if you have a lot of data, would be an external hard drive of some kind that you mm-hmm. could either back up your entire system or even do something known as mirroring, where it makes an identical image copy of your drive as you are going along and writing and changing data, and you can always take that away from your office. So there are certainly lots of different options, and I've only just touched the surface there of a few.
Well, of course, not all of us are smart enough to back up, so that's where you guys come in.
That's right. Come to our rescue.
Just give us a brief overview of what you guys do.
Sure.
To rescue
us. And let me just, you know, say that, interestingly enough, we find that most of our customers do back up their information, and the reason they come to us is really just for one reason or another. That their critical information that they need has either not been backed up for some reason. For example, if they're in a corporate environment, perhaps the individual that took care of their backups is no longer employed by the company. If there's a downturn in the economy, for example, we don't know whose responsibility that is anymore to maintain backups, for example. It may have just fallen through the cracks. Or maybe you're on a deadline for a big project and you don't want to focus or think about backing up your data. You just want to think about what you need to do to finish your project.
Yeah,
that happens very frequently. So I would just, you know, be very cautious with your data, because if it's critical and it's important to you today, it's obviously going to be even more critical tomorrow if you happen to lose it. So what DriveSavers does is we specialize in rescuing data. It's a service that we perform. So you would send us your crashed or broken disk drive, or CD, DVD, or even flash memory from your camera, and we would go in and rescue your information and return it back to you on a DVD or CD or via the Internet.
So what type of situations are unrecoverable? Is there anything that we should keep in mind when it comes to whether or not we should send our hard drive to you guys, whether or not it's too far gone? I mean, is it physically has to be destroyed, or is fire or temperature or water or whatever can cause a hard drive to be so bad that it can never be recovered?
No, not necessarily. A small percentage of the drives that come to us have sustained some kind of severe damage, and that is to say that they've been involved in some kind of disaster where mm-hmm. perhaps there's been a fire, or they've been submerged, if there's been a flood or something, or broken water pipes or sprinkler systems or what have you. We get these types of things sent to us, and what we have here is something known as a clean room, it's really just very much like a like an operating room for hard drives, where we can open them up.
Surgery, right?
Exactly. It's hard drive surgery. In fact, the technicians that work in the room are highly specialized, and they wear special suits, and that's all they do really all day is work with disk drives that have some kind of physical damage or mechanical problems, and they function. They work with the drives and get them to read basically just long enough for us to get the information back for our customers. But if information is absolutely critical, you should never think that there isn't a chance of getting that data back. There's always it's always worth trying to get it back if you need to, because we've done some amazing things here. We've rescued data from a laptop, an Apple PowerBook that sank to the bottom of the Amazon River.
You're kidding me.
That actually, it was on a cruise ship and was going down the Amazon River in 1993, and it hit an underwater sunken barge and began taking on water. Everyone was rescued from the ship, and there was a woman who was a juggler, a performer on the ship, who had been writing her memoirs and storing them on her PowerBook, and she waited for the salvage operation to begin, but she got very impatient and went and rented some scuba gear. She was a certified scuba diver, and she was able to dive down into the Amazon River and go and retrieve her PowerBook from her stateroom. She had heard about Drive Savers through Apple, and she shipped it to us in a styrofoam container that still contains some Amazon River water in it. And so we disassembled her drive, and we had to go through some very detailed steps to get the media to read, and then we were able to rescue the data from her drive and get that back to her. And that's, you know, every day here it's an amazing story. We had one a couple of weeks ago from a guy who worked for Oppenheimer in New York and in investments, and he was crossing Park Avenue, and the light was changing, and he was running, and he had his laptop bag over his shoulder, of course, with the laptop inside.
Mm-hmm.
And he tripped and dropped his bag.
Oh, no.
And he got up and turned around, and being a good New Yorker, he looked down the street to see if there were any vehicles coming. And an 18-wheeler was barreling down and ran right over his laptop computer.
No.
And completely crushed it.
Oh,
so,
boy.
Amazingly, we were able to get that data back as well.
Wow.
And, in fact, we saved that one. We're going to be putting that in our museum, because we have a little museum here known as the Museum of Disk Asters. there's an online version of it at www.drivesavers.com. You can go up and see a few different kinds of disk asters that we've been able to rescue the information from, including those that have been in fires and, of course, the famous Amazon PowerBook.
Now, isn't there one involving a gun?
Yeah, that's right. Shot with a gun. That's amazing.
We do. We actually we do have one here that a customer had sent to us, but we haven't done anything with it yet. But it's not up in the museum yet, I'm afraid. But yeah, it was one that was a guy got angry and shot his computer, and
I can understand how that might happen.
Unfortunately, he missed the disk drive, so actually that one wasn't really that hard to get back. But he probably felt a lot better after that.
I'll bet. Stress relief, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And speaking of stress relief.
Yeah.
We do have a woman who works here known as a data crisis counselor, and her name is Kelly Chesson, and she's been with us for a few years now. And she takes care of customers who are very, very emotional and stressed out about their data loss. She has a degree in psychology, and she has also done training on the suicide hotline.
Oh.
And so what she does is, when we do have people who call in and they are very distraught over the loss of their data, she goes and calms them down and kind of brings them back around, because it can be very emotional when you lose your information, and you can go through a lot of different kinds of feelings, and you know.
Well, it's just like a death in the family, right?
Yeah, it's you know, death in the family, or perhaps you're angry,
yeah,
you know, about it, you know.
That's
and
true.
And so poor Kelly, she gets the brunt of all the angry callers and all those that are basically crying over the phone and in remorse, hoping to get their information back. So we try to help people out in that way as well.
Yeah, that's
and it
great.
sounds funny, but believe it or not, it does help people.
It when it happens to you, it's not funny, right?
It's not funny. Yeah. It's not funny, and people's lives are at stake now with computers and all types of storage devices because we have so many in so many different kinds of devices, whether it's a digital camera or your TiVo box or your computer or your cell phone or what have you. You know, everything has some method of storage, and if you lose your critical data, you know, you could lose your job or who knows what can happen. We hear all kinds of stories.
You can lose a lot of money or...
You're telling me, John, that basically DriveSavers doesn't just care for the data, but for the people as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, we take good care of our customers, and that's one thing that we really pride ourselves on here is providing superior customer service so that when we have when you call in on our 800 number, you actually are speaking to a live person. We don't have a system, an automated attendant or a voicemail type system for our customers that call us here because we want to take care of them right away and make sure that they don't get any more stressed out than they already are.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of a conversation with John Christopher of DriveSavers.com. John's given us tips on how we can save our failed hard drives, and he has a lot more stories coming up in the next segment. Stay tuned. You're listening to Web Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Internet, my friend. How can I help you?
Hi, this is Rob Greenlee of Web Talk Radio. I've got a tip for you. If you're looking to register a new domain name or get a new website hosted, then support the Web Talk Radio show by visiting web.com. They have been a trusted name on the web for years and have had over 300,000 customers over the years. They specialize in domain name registrations and hosting, but they have a domain name registration as low as $4.95 per year, and that's for a yourname.web.com domain name. And they also have regular .com domain names for $6.95 per year. Web.com was recently ranked number one by tophosts.com and CNET certified as being a top web hosting provider. Their hosting plans are as low as $7.95 per month, and that's even for an online e-commerce solution. So trust me, Web.com is a great place to get your solution, and you can give them a call at 1-800-761-2468. That's 1-800-761-2468, or just visit them right on their website at web.com.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a 4-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza Man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-505-1562. That's 800-505-1562. For new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month of $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now. 800-505-1562.
And now, the Internet's future, the Web Talk Guys.
I'm Rob Greenlee, and this is Web Talk Radio at webtalkradio.com. Dana Greenlee is in here with me, too.
Joining us today is John Christopher. He's a data recovery engineer with DriveSavers.com. John's letting us know that you can save that failed hard drive. One thing I noticed, John, when I went to your website was a lot of familiar faces scrolling across the top. In other words, this is like the who's who of stars that have had data disasters. Why don't you tell us some of the star-studded people that you have helped?
Yeah, that we call it our Hall of Fame, although I think some of the people that we have up there probably like tend to call it the Hall of Shame.
Yeah, I would
but,
think so.
Sure, we have folks up there. We have everybody from Sting to Jimmy Buffett, to Sean Connery, Isaac Hayes, Sarah Jessica Parker, Adam Sandler. A lot of people out there who have lost data and come to DriveSavers. A few years ago, I had done a data recovery on a drive, and was calling the customer back to confirm that I'd gotten back all of the information that he needed from the drive. And he asked me to go through and check a few folders and things there. And I noticed a lot of Simpsons stuff on his drive, you know, icons and games and all kinds of stuff. And he says, well, check the one called Scripts.
Uh-huh.
So we opened that one up and looked at it. And he says, well, launch it up and see if you can read one of the scripts. So I did that. And I said, wow, these are great. Where did you get all these? He says, well, I wrote them. And it turned out that he was one of the writers and producers for the show The Simpsons. And he had then told me that, amazingly, this was the only copy of 12 scripts that they had not yet produced, including their season finale.
Oh, really?
Of that year, which was Who Shot Mr. Burns.
Oh, my God.
And so we were able to get all of his data back, and we had no idea who we were even working for.
Wow.
at that time, but they were most grateful, and they even sent us an autographed picture signed by Homer.
So, was that Matt Groening himself, or was it?
Not Matt Groening. Not Matt Groening, but one of the producers, Bill Oakley. He was kind enough to send us the picture, and it's very funny if you happen to see it on our website. I'll have to let you guys take a look at it and see what you think of it.
Simpson fanatics around the world have you to thank.
That's right.
That's right.
Drive Savers rescued the Simpsons. That's what the storyline should be.
Exactly.
I was surprised to see Keith Richards' picture up there. I mean, are these guys technically adept? Or, I mean,
it seems like a disproportionate of them, celebrities, are having hard drive problems, it seems like, anyway.
I think, you know, maybe at this point now that they're just simply sending us their drives so they can get their pictures up in our
hall. There you go.
We came across the comedian Sinbad at a show recently, and he says, hey, how do I get my picture up here? You got to lose some data. But
cause your hard drive to fail, yeah.
Keith Richards, everybody wants to know what he spilled in his computer, of course.
Yeah.
What was he drinking that day, you know? But, no, he didn't spill a martini or anything like that, or a latte, or, you know, the kind of thing that you would expect him to do. But, no, in his case, his drive simply stopped working. And, you know, as I said earlier, you know, drives are mechanical devices, and they can stop working without any kind of warning. And in this case, Keith had a lot of correspondence for the Bridges to Babylon tour that was going on at that time, and he had some faxes and emails and letters that were there, and he did not have any kind of backup at all. Just, you know, carrying his laptop around with him and doing his thing and not thinking about it, just like so many people. So. Yeah, we were able to go back and get his data for him as well, and he was most grateful.
Why don't you run through kind of a list of things that we should be thinking about, you know, as we listen to our drive spin and function? Is there things that we should be looking for to catch maybe whether or not a hard drive is about ready to fail, so we make good decisions before it actually happens?
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody that owns a computer should invest in some kind of disk utility software. You know, if you have a PC, of course, you're going to have, if you're running the Windows operating system, you already have something built in. You know, there's mm-hmm. scan disk that'll go out and look for minor problems on the drive. Windows XP, or, you know, you can defragment your drive. And certainly on the Macintosh side, comes with its own disk utility to fix minor problems. Utility software is a good thing to use in a preventive mode, because problems can occur with what's known as the directory structure of the drive, and that is to say it's very much like a table of contents
mm-hmm.
in a book. And if it gets scrambled, then you may not be able to boot up your system, or files may disappear or what have you. So running a disk utility every month or so is probably a pretty good thing to do, but it doesn't replace the need for a backup. So let me just state that again. You must back up your data. In fact, we recommend that you back up your information before you even run a disk utility, because a lot of the utility programs make assumptions about the way the disk structure is supposed to be laid out.
Mm-hmm.
And those are merely assumptions. And so they're not always 100% accurate. There may be a time in there where they could mess up a drive and make things worse. But again, I think it's important to, you know, back up your information, use disk utilities. Your drive does have, speaking of the way that your drive sounds,
mm-hmm.
maybe when you turn on your computer system, sometimes it's hard to hear the drive because there's a fan built inside most computer boxes. If you can hear the drive, you can hear the rhythm, the sound that the drive makes, mm-hmm. and the way that it sounds kind of normally while it's functioning. If your drive makes any kind of unusual noises, that is to say, unusual meaning repetitive clicking or grinding or scraping sounds or any kind of beeping or chirping, you should turn off your system immediately, because that means that the drive itself is probably suffering some kind of mechanical failure.
Mm-hmm.
Hard drives themselves, there are mechanically, the disk platters are mounted on a center spindle inside your hard drive, and the center spindle spins at a high rate of speed. I think the fastest drive made today runs at about 15,000 revolutions per minute. It's very, very fast.
That's fast.
The read-write heads that read and write your data float on a cushion of air, never touching the surface of the disk, and they are mounted on an armature that moves at a speed greater than 60 miles per hour. So when you add the 15,000 revolutions per minute, the fact that you have these read-write heads hovering less than the width of a human hair above the surface of a disk at 60 miles per hour, you can imagine that these are precision devices, and a great deal of damage can occur in a short period of time if something goes wrong. And I mean that the heads themselves could scrape off the media surface and take your data right along with it.
Wow.
So it's best that if it is making any kind of unusual noises, to stop immediately and go to Drive Savers to get your data back, because it's a mechanical problem. There isn't going to be anything you could do with a utility program.
John, in our last 30 seconds, why don't you tell us about those that are hearing those strange sounds, is what they would do to go to Drive Savers, the sort of the process to send you their hard drives?
If your drive is making any kind of unusual noises, then again, any kind of clicking, grinding, or anything that does not sound normal, let me say that, you can contact us here at Drive Savers at 800-440-1904, or go to our website, www.drivesavers.com, and we're located in Novato, California.
Oh, okay. What does it usually cost to actually get a hard drive recovered? What's the typical range? I'm sure it depends on the situation, but...
What we do is we quote right up front. We give you a low to a high estimate over the phone, which is mm-hmm. based on the physical capacity of the drive,
mm-hmm.
the operating system that's being used, as well as the turnaround time that you need the drive, the data returned back to you. So if you need it back sooner, of course, it could cost a bit more, but the average price is about $1,000. And our success rate at getting back your data is at 90%. So we're successful in 90% of the cases getting
data
back.
That's great.
And you know what? If you spent a year working on a memoir,
it's definitely worth it if you have some valuable information on there.
Absolutely. And we have people who've spent 5 years or more working on their stuff, and they come to us, it's just tragic. You know, to hear all the stories that come through here. I feel very much like a doctor when people come to me.
And you are. thank you, John.
John, thank you for joining us. It was great to speak with you.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
We've been talking with John Christopher. He's a data recovery engineer from drivesavers.com. We're wrapping up another Web Talk show, but I hope you guys learned something helpful to make your digital lives just a little bit easier. That's what we strive to do every week.
Thank you for letting us into your lives. We'll be looking for you at our website at webtalkradio.com, and we'll see you around the net.
Thank you for downloading the Web Talk Guys. Bookmark us now for next week. Same Web Talk Guys time, same Web Talk Guys channel.